Now the lesson starts in verse 9. Christ, wisdom personified. And of course, this is fulfilled. This wisdom personified is fulfilled in the glorious person and finished work of Christ. And we're going to start in verse 9 and go to the end of the chapter. But let's read verse 8 just to launch out from this. Wisdom says in verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward, or there's nothing nothing false, put it that way, or perverse in them. And so that verse tells us that as we've seen, this speaks of Christ, the Lord, our righteousness, the very righteousness of God, in whom the glory of God and the salvation of sinners by His grace is revealed. All the words of His mouth is righteousness, that which honors God. And that righteousness which saves the souls of His people. And all that Christ is and all that He did to redeem us from our sins, all of it is in strict accordance with the glory and the majesty and the honor of God. He's both a just God and a Savior. And that's the wisdom we're talking about. How in the world can a holy God be just and justify sinners like us? We read that verse in Proverbs 17 last week, or 2 weeks ago, about that he who justifies the wicked, he who condemns the just, is an abomination unto God. Well, how can God do this? How could He condemn His holy, righteous Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our place and still be just in doing that, not be an abomination to Himself? How can He declare sinners like us to be righteous, truly righteous, not in some fake way or some legal fiction, but truly righteous in His sight, according to His law and justice? How can He do that and not be an abomination to Himself? And the Bible's clear. Now look at verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. If we have that knowledge and that understanding that only God can give, these things are plain to us. The mystery's been revealed. The cover's been taken off. And what does God say to us in the gospel? Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. How can God condemn Christ on the cross and not be unjust and an abomination to Himself? He made Christ to be the surety of His people before the foundation of the world. Christ was given the responsibility and the sin debt of all of His people in the everlasting covenant of grace before the world began. And that means our sins, our sin debt, was charged to Him, was imputed to Him. That's how God can condemn His Son justly. One who is just in Himself, who is righteous and holy and pure and perfect. That's how the Father could condemn Him and still be just and not be an abomination to Himself. It's by the imputation of our sins to Him. And Christ willingly took that responsibility. He said, put it on my account. And then, and the flip side of that is that's how God can justly declare sinners like us, who are unrighteous in ourselves, He can declare us to be righteous in His sight, really righteous, substantially righteous, because He's imputed, charged Christ's righteousness to us. We stand in Him. He's our surety. He's our substitute. He's our redeemer. And we're one with Him. And so that's the grace of God. That's the wisdom of God. And that's plain if God has revealed it to us. Isn't that right? Now, it's not plain to those to whom God has not revealed it. But it's plain to us that find knowledge. And how did we find knowledge? God brought us that knowledge. God gave us that knowledge. God taught us through His Word in the power of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. And that's how God does it. It pleased the Lord through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The gospel is the revelation of it. Well, look at verse 10 and 11. He says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Well, that's plain and simple, isn't it? People spend their lives building up money and wealth and all kinds of things that are precious here on earth. And those things are not necessarily bad things. Don't get me wrong. We want to be prepared for the future and all of that. But there's nothing that can even slightly compare to the riches of God's grace that we have in Christ. I mean, there's nothing. All the gold in the world is not to be compared with the blessings and the benefits of salvation that we find in Christ. He is more precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. And look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. That's sort of like saying the knowledge and the wisdom I have to act, to look and to dwell and find out knowledge of witty inventions. What are those witty inventions? That's what man invents. Those are false gospels and false ways of salvation. The most wicked, witty inventions are false gospels or false ways of salvation. Salvation conditioned on sinners. I mentioned last week how all false religion, they either teach salvation in some way, at some stage, to some degree, conditioned on man, and they measure righteousness on a sliding scale. Those are the witty inventions of man. But God is the source of the truth of the gospel. And so he says in verse 12, he says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Look at verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." When God brings us to fear Him, that is with that respect and that regard for the honor of His character, His nature, that brings us to hate evil, which denies His honor. And that's even the evil of false religion. That's not just the evil that men do in immorality. We should hate that too. But, think about it this way. When we hear about these mass shootings and stuff like, don't you hate that? I do. But here's the thing. What about the evil that lies within me in the flesh? Do I hate that? I ought to hate it. And I should cultivate a hatred for it. That's what I ought to do. Isn't that right? But I know this. I hate it because of the consequences of it. You know, the reason, are you hurting this morning? Are you sick? Are you growing old? That's the consequence. Don't you hate that? I do. When my back hurts, I hate it. Don't you, Audrey, when your back hurts? Anyway, we all go through that. And somebody told me one time, said, "Well, I don't just hate sin. I hate the consequences of sin. I hate sin." Well, the only reason we hate sin is because we see it through those consequences. We have the results of it. And so we do hate it. But here's the thing. We hate any religion that teaches anything contrary to the religion of grace, the righteousness of Christ. Don't you hate that? David said in the Psalms, "I hate every false way." And the reason I hate it is because I see people rushing headlong into darkness. Family members. Well, I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning in the message. So it says, the fear of the Lord. Whenever God brings us to honor Him, to seek His glory, We hate any way that doesn't glorify God. Those ways that glorify men are things we hate. He says pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. See, all false religions are religions of pride and arrogancy. Because if salvation is conditioned on sinners rather than on Christ alone, that fosters pride and arrogancy. That puts it in our hands to the point that we can boast that we made the difference. That's an evil way. That's pride and arrogancy. You think about the standard that God has in order to be right in His sight. It's the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And nothing in us or done by us will meet up to that. And to think it will is pride and arrogancy. Look at verse 13, verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. If we're going to get right counsel and sound wisdom, it belongs to God in Christ, and He has to give it. He says, I am understanding. I have strength, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Where do we find that? In Christ. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Christ, the wisdom and the power of God to them that believe. And then there's no other wisdom and there's no other power. Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Even in matters of civil justice, God is in control. Christ is the one who is in control. And then those kings and those princes who preach the gospel or believe the gospel, think about David, think about Solomon, think about Hezekiah. They rule by God's power and God's wisdom and God's justice. Verse 16, by me princes rule. And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. God's in control of it all. Now we know there have been and always will be evil kings, evil princes, evil nobles. God sometimes puts them in place as a judgment against a nation or against a family or against a country. But those who rule rightly, they're sin of God. Romans 13 deals with that. How we're to obey the powers that be. Now, when man enacts laws that are ungodly, that are contrary to God's law, we're not to obey that. But all the just rule. See, this is the wisdom of God, even in providence, but especially in salvation. And then in verse 17, he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, that verse is not saying that God's love to His people is in response to their love for Him. Because we know that, first of all, none of us love the true and living God. None of us by nature love the true and living God. We love a God of our own imagination, which is a God like ourselves, which means we love ourselves. But there is no love from God in us until God sheds it abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. So God doesn't respond to us. God is the source and originator of all things in salvation. And if we love God, it's because He first loved us. Isn't that what the Bible says? We love Him because He first loved us. Our love to Him is a gift that He gives us, and it's in response of His love for us. Hearing His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then our seeking God. Finding God is not His response to our seeking Him. We won't seek Him by nature. Romans 3 and verses 10 through 12, read them again. None righteous, none that doeth good, none that seeketh after God. So if we do seek the Lord, You know why we do it? It's because He first sought us. He's the source and the originator of all things. And the Bible teaches us that God has set His love on those whom He gave to Christ before the foundation of the world. And that never changes. Think about that. The unchanging, all-enduring love of God to sinners like us. And it's not to everybody without exception, but it's only to those who are in Christ. And God loves them in Christ and sends the Spirit to draw them with cords of love, the gospel, showing His love in sending Christ to be the propitiation for our sins. Look here in verse 18. We'll read a few verses here. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. The only riches that endure forever, in righteousness. Don't you love to hear that? Doesn't that just thrill your soul? That we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and that it's in righteousness. It's according to God's justice and His mercy brought together in the person and work of Christ. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Everything. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness. I love that. That's the way that word lead could be walk, and that's okay. Do you realize that as sinners saved by grace, we do walk in the way of righteousness? Now, that doesn't mean we always do right. Sometimes we get selfish, get sidetracked, and we need to be reminded, we need to be brought to repentance there. But as long as we're in Christ, trusting Him, resting in Him for all salvation, we're walking in the way of righteousness. But here, Christ Himself, He walks, He leads in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. All of that, so precious to God's people. In verse 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. You see, this is no pipe dream. This is no imaginary thing. Our justification before God, our sanctification, and finally our glorification, there's substance to it. You know, in Hebrews 11, where it talks about faith is the evidence of things not seen, and those things that are proven, substance, they're substantial. And you know where the substance is really found? It's not in what we feel or what we see here on this earth. It's in the Word of God. That's what gives it substance. God said it, that settles it. If God said it, it's true. That's why I'm so adamantly against those who say that when God declares us righteous in His sight, that He can only do that if He makes us righteous within ourselves. That's not true. If God declares us righteous, if God says, I'm not guilty, I'm substantially not guilty. If He says I'm righteous in His sight, I'm substantially righteous in His sight. You say, well, you don't look righteous. It has nothing to do with how I look. It has nothing to do with how I feel. It all has to do with what is in the mind of Almighty God who never changes, who's loved us with an everlasting love. Think about that. Now, let's read these verses here, beginning at verse 22. And this describes the eternality of Christ. Remember in John 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is similar to that. Listen to this. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Salvation given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. He says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. What a beautiful description of the eternal God and his Son. Verse 30 says, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And that means he had no beginning and no end. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men as his chosen. Think about that. In Christ, before the foundation of the world, God delighted in his chosen people. Now, how can he do that? We fell in Adam. We're sinners. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. Well, we know God doesn't delight in all that, but he delights in his people. How? Based upon the blood and righteousness of Christ, even before the foundation of the world. Because it was so sure and certain that Christ would come and give himself a ransom, a substitute, a lamb for the sins of his people and establish righteousness, which God has always been just to justify the ungodly. Somebody said, well, then why did Christ have to come and die? Because if it weren't for him coming and dying, there would be no mercy. There'd be no grace. There'd be no judgment of us, no delight in us. No loving. See, what God determined before the foundation of the world demanded that Christ would come in time and redeem us from our sins. Establish righteousness. So look at verse 32. Thou therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear the word of God. Listen. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. Plead his righteousness for salvation. Keep his ways. His ways are the only right ways. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Listen to what God says in his word. It's good for us. It may go against our flesh. And it does. I said it may. No, it does. But he's given us a spirit, a life, a heart to love him and to obey him. He says in verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me. Oh, my soul, think about it. If you can hear these things with the hearing ear, the ear of faith, see him with the eye of faith, how blessed we are. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, waiting for his return. For whoso findeth me findeth life. Do you realize that? To find Christ is to find life. Spiritual life, everlasting life, eternal life. And shall obtain favor of the Lord to come before God, washed in the blood of Christ and dressed in his righteousness imputed. That's favor of the Lord. But verse 36 ends, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. To sin against Christ is to reject him, to not believe. He that believeth not shall be damned. And all they that hate me love death. Now, they don't realize they love death, but they do. And that has to be revealed, and it will be revealed one day. Okay.